Okay, welcome everybody. Good evening. Thank you for coming. All right, so I'll tell you the history of where this... I've been kind of thinking about this for a while, and then kind of when I was in Boston months ago now, so Rishatha kind of crystallized it as a question, although the material, the answers are some from him, some in general. Like my issue is as follows. Like, I pretty much, although, you know, anything could happen, and we'll see, etc., but I pretty much committed my life to, you know, spreading Torah and building up communities, our community here, in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. And on one hand, wonderful, we're supposed to be working on that, and a lot of the good comes out of it. On the other hand, you have a feeling that it's always temporary. It's always, you know, we're hoping that, you know, tomorrow we'll close down and we'll all move and we'll hopefully pick up this entire building here because, you know, we don't want to waste away the building. And, you know, we'll move it there and, you know, leave the land as to pay off the mortgage and it'll be wonderful. So we are hoping for that. On the other hand, well, we're kind of, I don't want to even say get into the comfortable part. I mean, people will say, oh, well, we're comfortable here, and that's why. Without even getting into that, you know, we've done a lot of work here, not just us in this room, but us, the community here, and as a country, the Jewish community has really accomplished a lot here. So on one hand, how do we perceive us kind of closing that down? On the other hand, we don't want to close it. You know, how do we balance that out? That's kind of the challenge that I have this internal struggle with constantly. And I figured I'd try to at least verbalize it. I don't think we're going to end any part of the struggle. And, you know, people that lean more towards the Israel side will end up going to Israel. And the people that end up not end up staying here. But I just figured we'd put it in a context, and that's kind of the hope of what to do over the next three Wednesday nights. I don't, with all honesty, I don't really know where we're going to end up. And we might all end up in Eretz Yisrael in 2 weeks, I don't know. But I'm not really sure where this is going to go. But at least for tonight, I know where tonight's going to go. And tonight is kind of the, maybe building the question up even more. Tonight is At Home While Abroad. I saw this as a title someplace. At Home While Abroad is a, not my own phrase, I just forgot where I found that phrase. But At Home While Abroad is kind of, which is home and which is abroad? You know, like, are we really, you know, are we home in Israel and we just happen to be abroad now? Are we at home here, but we have to have feelings towards there? So I'm not even sure what the title means, at home or while abroad. But, you know, we're both and kind of struggling with that. And we'll see where we go. So tonight is preparing for exile, which is more of a historical look at a halachic slash historical look at how things change. The Jewish world that we're living in now is a lot different than the Jewish world that Shlomo HaMelech developed, a lot of probably different than Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to envision. It's a lot different than anything that existed within the realms of the Beis HaMikdash, whether by Srishan or by Sheni. And that shift had to happen. I mean, something had to change in order for us to be put in this situation. So let's just, the first page is all setting the scene. So setting the scene, the Gemara describes at the end of Bava Basra, at the end of the third paragraph of Bava Basra, the Kishachar of Beis HaBayis Shishnia, that our rabbis taught that when the second Beis Midrash was destroyed, Rabu Perushin be Yisrael, Sholechol Basar v'Shol Lishtos Mayim. I mean, there were Lishtos Yayim, right? There were many ascetics who said that we're not going to eat meat and we're not going to drink wine. We're so sad, we're so distraught, we're not going to do that. So Nitba Lehen Rabbi Yoshua, Amar Lehen Bini, Mifnei Ma Yatem Oklim Basar, V'yatem Shosin Yayin. So Rabbi Yoshua comes upon them, he says, tell me my sons, which is, you know, Bini, my children, why is it, why are you not eating meat, and why are you not drinking wine? So Amar Lo, they said to him, Nechal Basar, Shememenu Makrivin Al Gabi Mizbeach, should we eat meat, which was brought on the Mizbeach, V'achsha Batal, and now we're not no longer bringing karbanos, Nishte Yayin Sheminaskin Al Gabi HaMizbeach, V'achsha Batal, we're going to drink wine, wine was once poured on the base in the Mizbeach, and now we're just going to, and now we don't do that anymore. Now we're just going to go ahead and drink wine. So Amar Lehem, Rabbi Yeshua responded to them, Im kein lechem lo nechel, shekvar batu menachos, you shouldn't eat bread either, because korban used bread. So they say, okay, you know, after Rabbi Peiros, they turn around and say, okay, we could probably handle that, you know, gluten free, we'll do okay. So we could have fruit. So this is Peiros Lodechel. You can't eat fruit either. Shekfar Batlu Bikurim, must you no longer be Kurim. So after Rabbi Peiros Acherim, they say, maybe we'll bring other fruit. So Mayim Lo Nishti, you can't even drink water. Shekfar Batl Nisuch HaMayim, plus there's no longer pouring of the water. And then they realize that this is going to get ridiculous, that you're not going to be able to survive this way. And they were quiet. Now the Gemara, I didn't take this part of the Gemara in. The Gemara then goes on to describe what Rabbi Yeshua recommended. That's the Gemara that describes you should leave part of your house empty and you should have a Zecher Lechorban and Zecher Lemikdash, etc. All that, that's the next stage of the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua, instead of, it's really a different shir, Rabbi Yeshua, instead of saying we're going to have none of this, say we're going to have this, but we're always going to have less of it. We're always going to recognize that there is something that is missing. And that's important perhaps for a different series. But we're setting the tune. I mean, there were ascetics. There were people that were so distraught over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash that they couldn't foresee any way doing these kinds of things. And then they, you know, they worked it out. But that was the attitude at the time. Even more shocking is the Gemara about 10 lines after that, where it says, "Umiyom," this is source number 2, "Umiyom shepashta malchus harsha shegozeras aleinu gezeros ros vekashas," because the kingdom, the government, was so difficult for us. They established this difficult thing. "Umivatelos mimenu Torah mitzvos," and that we weren't allowed to do Torahs and mitzvos. "Mincha minachas osanu lichanes lishavuas haben." So and they would not allow us to enter into the week of the sun, which is I assume the Bris, right? But Amri la Lishua haben din hu shenigzar al atzmeinu shlo lisa isha ulaholid banim. So they said maybe we should establish to ourselves, we should make a gezera that we're not going to marry women and we're not going to have sons. V'nimsa zara shel Avram avinu kalim elav, and we'll find that the zara of Avram is going to go to waste. I mean, they say, if we're not going to be able to do mitzvahs, if we're not going to be able to do what we need to do, there's no point anymore. Forget it. No more marriage and no more children. That was the suggestion at the time. So they said, maybe, but then they said, Ela hanach lem li Yisrael mutav shayu shogin v'ayuhu mezin. They turned around and said, you know what, let's not do that. Leave the Jews. Leave them. Better that they should earn ignorance than be b'meid, which is a very strange answer. I mean, that means, well, they're going to do it anyways. I mean, we're not going to be able to handle it. Which almost implies, yeah, that's actually a good idea. But B'nai Yisrael wouldn't be able to handle it, so we're not going to do it. So again, that's also a, you know, very difficult statement. What does that mean exactly? They meant that we're not really not going to do it anymore. Maybe some Rishonim say, well, they're going to have two children and then they're going to stop. Whatever that means, we see that there's a pretty forceful thing going on, that we're saying Beis HaMikdash is gone, we're not going to be doing a lot of things anymore. Perhaps we shouldn't be doing a lot of things anymore. And the Gemara responds by saying, well, no, don't go that far. This is, of course, the Al Na'aruz Bavel, which really we say, really should be saying all year when we bench. Maybe some have the specific practice of doing it during the 3 weeks. But Al Na'aruz Bavel, Sham Yeshavnu Bachinu Bezachrinu Es Zion, right, where we, on the rivers of Bavel, where we sit, we wept, and we remembered Zion. Al Arvus Besocha Talinu Kinaroseinu, the willows on the midst, we hung our harps. I mean, we no longer, we have to hang our harps, we can no longer sing. Kisham Sholeinu Shuvenu Divreishir Besololeinu, Simcha Shiru Lanu Mishir Zion. For our captors asked us the words, and they asked us to sing. And we respond by saying, Eich Nashir Shir Hashem Al Admas Nechar. How could we possibly sing the song of Hashem on this foreign land? Yishkachechi Yerushalayim Tishkachi. If we forget Yerushalayim, we'll forget our right hand. So that's the scene. I mean, the scene is everybody's destroyed. Everybody's upset. Nobody knows how to move on. How could we possibly go on doing mitzvos, eating regular food, having children, being shir as shir Hashem, singing the song of Hashem? We find that impossible to do. So that is what is going on at the time. So there is a particular problem which Rabbi Jonathan Sachs has an article, the entire chapter is worth reading. I took out a small out where he picks on one particular area. He says a particular pressing problem at that time, in the early part of, you know, this first millennium, right, is, okay, the Beis HaMikdash is gone, we have to deal with our sorrow, we're all upset, we're all very sad, we have to deal with that. But first of all, how are we going to do tshuva? I mean, how are we going to continue in our relationship with God? Right? There is every man, you know, we're going to sin. And he picks that as perhaps the a something to focus on, as, okay, that had to change. I mean, that clearly had to change. How did it used to work? How did Yom Kippur used to work? And I think every year in Shul I raise this question. How did Yom Kippur work from the Beis HaMikdash, which is what we focus on? And then how did Yom Kippur work for Larry, you know, who lived in the Galil and, you know, was a farmer and you know, took Yom Kippur off? All right, so what was Yom Kippur like? How did Tshuva happen? So the Rambam writes, and this is the Gemara that says, Sir Mishtalef, you have the Azazel that was thrown off of the cliff. Shu Kapara Kol Yisrael, it's a kapara for everybody. Shu Kapara Kol Yisrael Kohen Gadol Misvadala, the Kohen Gadol would do vidui. Alashon Kol Yisrael, Shenemar Misvada Alav is Kol Avonos Bnei Yisrael. They would do vidui on him, then he would put on this calf all of the on the goat, all of the sins of Bnei Yisrael, right? And he would throw it out. The light ones and the hard ones. Bein she'aver b'zeldo, bein she'aver b'shgag, whether on purpose, whether by accident. Bein she'hedolo, bein she'lohodolo, kol mischaper b'sir mishtalech. Everybody was forgiven by this Seir HaMishtaleach. Right? And that sounds really wonderful. Right, we still have the question of, okay, is that's a little difficult for Larry? That's a little bit difficult for our friend that lives in the Galil, right? How does he deal with that? You know, what does that mean? That's very difficult for us to understand, which might have been the problem, right? But we have the Seir Mishtaleach, right? That was taking care, and that's what the Torah says to do. The Torah says, how do you achieve atonement? How do you achieve kapara? Well, you take care. You know, the Kohen Gadol does this thing. The Kohen Gadol does this thing, so everybody is taken care of. And now the Beis HaMikdash is no longer, and we're wondering once again, okay, how's this going to work now? Right, we have this specific thing called tshuva. How is tshuva going to be attained with the departure, with the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? So, I don't know, kind of, should we move to the room now? Is it kind of like very hot in here?
No, it's not hot. I just want more people coming.
Well, I don't sure where everybody's very comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So there is
the learning of the Torah.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. I offered. Okay. I offered. So there were two people living at that time that lived pretty close to one another. One we don't often talk about in this shul is a Jew by the name of Shaul, who became known as Paul. And I don't claim any expertise in here, but one can take a but they had to deal. Everybody had to deal with this. I mean, if they, the early Christians that kind of lived within the shadow of the Beis HaMikdash, right? They were in a way trying to get tshuva the same way. So how did they deal with it? This is the point that Rabbi Sachs makes. So in chapter 5 through 8, I just took a link out of the Epistle to the Romans. In chapters 5 through 8, Paul argues that believers can be assured of their hope and salvation, having been freed from the bondage of sin. Paul teaches that through faith, the faithful have been joined with Jesus and freed from sin. Believers should celebrate in the assurance of salvation. This promise is open to everyone, since everyone has sinned, save the one who paid for all of them. So he says everybody sins. There's only one person who never sinned, according to their tradition. Jesus never sinned. So Jesus is the atonement on behalf of everybody. Right, so how is everybody going to take care of their tshuva? So he looks around and says, well, if we look in the Old Testament, the way to do tshuva is by bringing a korban, by bringing a sacrifice. That's not going to happen anymore. Okay, so what else can happen in order for people to, you know, not, you know, be sent to, you know, whatever, all the bad things. How can we make sure it doesn't happen? Well, he cannot sin. Well, there's other passages where he writes that, well, every man sins. He found it impossible not to sin. So, and we have that tradition as well. So how do we take care of that? So he came up with the idea that, well, if we have trust in that person, you know, if we have trust in Jesus, so that will take care of all of our atonement, which I think is the basis. Again, I don't claim expertise, but I believe I think I pretty much got that right. I have mentioned this to people, because I pretty much got this right. They believe in it, and that's okay. And that solves that problem. And that solved that problem. So we have a different concept. Right? Amar Rabbi Akiva. And you have to realize that this is not, we read this, you know, you tell this over to people, this line of the Gemara, and like, okay, you know, that's very nice. But you have to realize how much of a chiddush it was, how much of a new idea it was. Amar Rabbi Akiva Ashreichem Yisrael, how wondrous is Israel. Lifnei mi atem mitarim, mi mitar eschem avichem shebashemayim. Who can give you purity? Who purifies you? Your Father in heaven. I'll throw upon them the water of purity and they will become pure. The Omer Mikvah Yisrael, Ma Mikvah Metares Atmeim, Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Metares Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be Metaher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can purify humanity. So Ashrich, so Rabbi Kiva, this isn't just a, how wondrous is Israel. Rabbi Kiva is making a very big change with this statement. Rabbi Kiva is coming along and saying, while you used to rely on the Kohen Gadol, while you used to rely on the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim and all that was going on over there for your tshuva, we're now changing that. Right? And in fact, it might be, you know, Ashreichem Yisrael. How wondrous is your opportunity? What's so wondrous about your opportunity? Who could be metaher you? Avichem Shabashamayim. Your Father in heaven. While at one time you had to rely perhaps on a Kohen and on something going on someplace else, now you are more fortunate. I'm not sure you're more fortunate than that, but at least more fortunate than others. You are fortunate in that you have the ability to go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking Him for tshuva. That you could take care of it on your own. You don't have to worry about something else. You can do it yourself. You can do it by yourself. Which is also similar to a different statement that Rabbi Kiva makes. Rabbi Kiva, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Chiba Yisera Nodaslo Shenivra B'Tzelem. How great is a man that he was created in the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Rabbi Kiva, instead of what Paul did, where he said, man is going to sin, and we have no option, you have no way of coming back, and rather you just have to kind of believe in a different being and you'll be okay because I don't see any other way out. Rabbi Kiva turned around and says, no, you're Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. You are in the image of God. You're closer to God than you may have ever recognized before. You are now closer that you have the ability to do tshuva on your own. You have the ability to face Hashem by yourself. I took one paragraph out from Rabbi Sachs. He meant this, now that there was no temple and no high priest, atonement need no longer be vicarious. The sinner could obtain forgiveness directly. All he or she needed to do was confess the sin, express remorse, and resolve not to repeat it in the future. Atonement was no longer mediated by a third party. It needed no high priest, no sacrifice, no temple ritual. It was direct relationship between the individual and God. This was one of the Rabbinic Judaism's most magnificent ideas. The concept long prefigured in the Bible but never explicitly set out as such. The tshuva and the return of the sinner to HaKadosh Baruch.
So why wasn't this case during the Beit HaMikdash? Why couldn't you have that during
So what most people you would ask them, okay, so tell me, what does Larry
May
do?
May I say something? If you go back to the Rambam, you call Tshuva, he says that even if you have the Seir, you have to do Tshuva.
Yeah, no, but he does say, yes. That's not what he says. The Rambam writes at the end, Im lo asa tshuva, in ha Seir mechaper, ella al hakalos. The Seir only works on the kalos.
Yeah.
So unless you kill somebody, right, unless you mechal shavos before hesia, you'll be okay. Yes, I know I should have included that line. The Rambam does say a person requires tshuva, but not for most averos. Most averos that people do that don't include punishments are included in kalos.
Doesn't Rambam say Yom Rishon and Kippur b'chaper?
Okay.
You have the right, and that's only for Klal Yisrael.
Okay, but you're still
individual.
That could be, but you're still stuck with Yom Kippur.
No, comes. The day we're not.
Fine, but
day,
Mark's question, know. Mark's question still stands. Mark's question of okay, well, what do you do, right? Right, what does that mean? Right, so this person, what is he doing in order to gain atonement? So most people will answer, well, the idea that this was going on in Yerushalayim infiltrated the country. I mean, that imbued the country with this level of kedusha that people feel that. I think that's what most people answer. I would say that was the problem. Meaning, that the part of this is that might have been the plan. Meaning, Moshe, if you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, how am I supposed to, what am I supposed to do? I live, you know, I'm not going to be in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. Right? What should I do? What's going to be my piece of sanctity? Moshe's going to answer, what do you mean your piece of sanctity? You'll gain from the Karbanos. That experience will impact you. I'm not even going to be there. Moshe, no! You'll see. You'll see it will work. Now, I think the answer is, it didn't work. Meaning, yes, that's true. In theory, it could. I mean, a person could sit down and focus on, wow, today is Yom Kippur, and think about what's going on 300 miles away in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's amazing to me, and how could I do anything but what brings me closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Right? The problem is that might not have happened, right? It doesn't happen, so now that's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. So we have to invoke things for you. I mean, you have to do things personally. I think that's the change that took place.
So the Gemara talks about the Seder Meshtalet, that people imbued it with such importance that they had to make a special ramp for them because people would like do things to them and hurt
right.
Them
the people that were there.
The people were there.
The people.
Special importance.
The people that were there, right? But the Gemara doesn't call those people very nice names either.
It wasn't too important.
That they were unethical and immoral on the outside. And they thought that by offering sacrifices, that'll take care of everything.
Right.
And that's why the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, I think that's the that was the problem. I mean, they looked around.
That's a shayol.
Right, I have that line in here. Right, the people looked at that and said, oh, that's our kapara, and I don't have to do anything. I mean, as opposed to that's our kapara, and think about how that impacts me. It's, oh, that's our kapara, and you know. I can't wait. You know, when is the fast over?
Right? So when the third Beis HaMikdash is built, and we go back to bringing Korbanos again.
Right. So I think part of this is that we go through this experience so that when we go back to bringing Korbanos, it's part of us. I mean, the idea that we personally have something to do. We have our personal avodah that's not just left up to the Yom Kippur. That will stay with us going forward. I'm not sure if I even felt that any further. Yeah. But I think that's part of the idea. We'll definitely come back to that. So besides that, there are many other indications. There are things that, in a way, took the place of the Karbanos. There are many places throughout the Gemara. There's ideas. This Ilu one brings the Korban. I put down a few, but there are many more. There's one a little bit more long here about Pam Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is in the Avos to Rabbi Nassan. Avos to Rabbi Nassan, I looked a little bit into it today. We don't really know who wrote this. Rabbi Nassan probably didn't write the Avos to Rabbi Nassan. It's a little unclear who wrote it, especially.
There are two versions.
There are also two versions, right? But it is a elongated version of the standard Pirkei Avos. So Pam Achas Hai Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Yotzi Yerushalayim. The one time Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was leaving Yerushalayim, Hari Rabbi Yeshua Holich Acharav. Rabbi Yeshua ran after him, and they saw the Beis HaMikdash in its destruction. They were not; neither of them were alive during the Beis HaMikdash, but they saw the destroyed Beis HaMikdash. So I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Oy lanu al zeh shehu charav makom shemechaprim bo avinu seyim shel Yisrael. Oy, woe is unto us that the place where our kapara used to come from, where we were atoned for all of our sins, it's no longer with us. So Amar Lei. So Rabbi Yochanan and Zaki responded. Don't worry. We have our own kapara like that. Doing kind things, doing nice things. There's a pasuk. Alright, I want your chesed, I don't necessarily want your karbanos. We find many other sources. Ish chamudo shayim is asik b'gemilus chasadim, that he was involved in nice things. Umahin gemilus chasadim shay Daniel misasik. And what would Daniel do? Right, im tomar oz uzvachim makriv bavel. If you say that, well, he brought karbanos, that can't be. If I look for nemer, yishem lecha petal usecha b'chol makom. Right, you're not allowed to bring karbanos in Bavel, and Daniel only lived in Bavel. You could even Reuven Tirani gave me his Iranian book a little while ago, and I just flipped through it. The Kever of Daniel still stands. I thought that was like so neat. That and the Kever of Esther. Yes, right? They're both, these are like places that people like go to. It's like, anyways. So, Elamahin Gemilus Chasadim. What are the Gemilus Chasadim? Now on the second to last line, Chaim is Asik Behem. Chaim is Sakin Esak Kalo Umisamche. He would help the Kalos and make them happy. Umalavis Hamais, and he would accompany the dead. But no Saint Prutalani, he would give staka. And he would daven three times every day. So that's now taking the place. I mean, what would that do? Look at what Daniel would do. Daniel wouldn't necessarily bring karbanos. Instead of karbanos, he would be doing these things. And next, Godel Oset Staka Yosemi Kolar Karbanos. The right, staka is greater than all the sacrifices. As it staka mishpat, right? Nivchar Lashem is a mitzvah. That staka and mishpat is better to Hashem than karbanos. And also the Gemara in Megillah, where Amar Avraham, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebono Shel Olam, Avram is complaining to Hashem and says, what's going to be? Shemachas v'shalom Yisrael chotim lefanecha v'yata osa lehem kador hamabul v'kador haflaga. And you're going to turn them into the generation of the flood and the generation of dispersion. What's going to be? There's no karbanos. How are people going to, what's going to happen? So Amar Lo, he said back to him, Amar lefan of Rabbonu Shalom b'me'ida. So Amar lo kachali egla mishaleshes. Amar lo Rabbonu Shalom tenach b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim. So he says, bring me this agala, bring me this this goat, bring me this heifer that's 3 years old now. Bring them a kapara. So he says back to him that works very well when the beis hamikdash is standing. B'zman shein beis hamikdash kayim atelim. What's going to be when there's no beis hamikdash anymore? So Amar lo kfar takanti lehem seder karbanos. I already established them the seder karbanos. Kolz man she Korin Bahen Mala Ani Aleim Kiilu Makrivin Lifnei Korban. If they just learn them, if they read them, so that will be as if they bring karbanos. Umochla Ani Al Kol Avinu Seichem. I'll forgive them for all their sins. That might motivate us to get the davening a little earlier every day, right? I was misaking the reading of karbanos, which is kiilu as if they brought the karbanos themselves. All right, so here's a couple. There are many more examples where things in the Gemara are said, you know, you do this, that's as if you bring karbanos. So what is all that doing, other than the fact that it's real and it's true, etc.? But it's pointing out that, yes, there is no Beis HaMikdash, but don't worry. Things will figure it out. We'll figure things out to move us along. Right, the pasuk that Rabbi Cohn was referring to is the next line, right, where Hashem is complaining, or the Nevi'im is complaining, that what do you think Hashem wants? You think Hashem wants your karbanos? You think Hashem wants this with the rivers, with the oil, etc.? No, Hashem wants, right, the pasuk chesed, gid lecha adam ma tovu ma Hashem dorish mimcha, kim asos mishpat v'avas chesed v'atzein alechas im Hashem alukach. Hashem wants that you do mishpat and love kindness, Batsena, and you go with Hashem.
Humility.
You walk with humility with Hashem. And by the way, the Rambam says we don't really understand what karbanos are all about. Anyways, that's the last one. And by the way, karbanos we don't really understand.
That's a Rambam's view.
Right. Others
disagree.
Right. Okay. So now we are past now, you know, a couple hundred years now past the Beis HaMikdash, and we have in a way we've adjusted to this. So we Bnei Yisrael has now perhaps been given a path about how are we going to take care about our spiritual needs. In the past, our spiritual lives were all based around the Beis HaMikdash. It was all based around the Kohanim, based around the Kohen Gadol. And what do we do now? So Rabbi Kiva has said to us, don't worry, Ashreichem Yisrael, you have your own connection, you have your own way of reaching and confronting and asking for forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, however, what about the idea of building up, the idea of working, building things out outside? Should we say, okay, let's just stay low until we have a chance? Well, not necessarily. There is a letter that Yirmiyahu wrote to those that were already living in Babel. I mean, Yirmiyahu lived as towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, but he wrote a letter to those in Babel, we'll be there soon, in a way. But he says to them, Ko amar Hashem tzvakos elokei Yisrael l'chol ha'gol asher heglisim Yerushalayim bebavla. Right, this is what Hashem said to all the people that He I have exiled from Yerushalayim to Babel. V'no banu batim v'shavu v'natu ganos v'achlu espiryo. He says, build houses and plant gardens, and you can eat from their produce. Kehu nashim v'lidu banim uvanos v'kehu livnechem nashim v'espinoseichem tenula nashim v'toledna banim uvanos v'rabu sham v'es v'altimatu. He says, take wives and have sons and have daughters and build families. And you know, you should do pururvu, you should try to multiply, and you shouldn't go down. V'darshu es shalom ha'ir, and even get involved with politics, and seek the peace of the city, asher iglisi eschem shama, v'ispalu be'eda el Hashem ki v'shloma yeh lachem shalom. And you should pray for it to Hashem, for in its peace you shall have peace. Right? So that's one of the source to say the tefillah of the Medina, not the tefillah of Medina Eretz Yisrael, but the tefillah on behalf of our own government. That's not a joke. That's not like something that they made up in the 50s. Right? That goes way back, all the way back to the time of Yirmiyahu. So the emphasis of this pasuk is clearly what? It's clearly, you know, build. Go do what you're supposed to do. And don't forget, this was Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was talking to the first exile, the first galus, which is going to last 70 years. So he says that in these 70 years, don't worry about it. You can build some houses, and you should build, and you should develop, and you should work, and you should do things. Right? How much more so when the galus would be even longer? So this is making a case for building outside of Eretz. I'm going to continue to make that case. We'll perhaps put the brakes on a little bit at the end, but the case is certainly being made to build this up. I think I've shown this in shul before. These pieces here. The Ramban while in Spain had his famous disputation, Pablo Cristiani, where he you know, the whole story. He was brought forward, and they you know, he said, I'll only argue if you promise. I'll only agree to this debate if you promise me that I'll be exempt from any type of punishment, and you're not going to exile me, and all that supposedly was agreed to, and he of course he didn't win the debate, but I think as the King of Spain said, you know, for some. You're the most right of anybody that's been wrong that I've met, or something like that was his line. But of course, the story goes the Ramban ended up having to leave Spain. However, we do have, and this is not like I found this in some library someplace, in the Sefer Kol Kisvei HaRamban, which might even have on the shelf. No, we don't have the shelf here. In all the writings of the Ramban, so Ramban wrote his notes. Ramban wrote his notes from that disputation, the questions and the answers. And he recorded it. It's very easy to get on most bookshelves. The disputation that he had. Now, the Ramban is asked, obviously something that's going to come up, is the idea of Mashiach. So Amar Osoa Ishvi Amar. So that person got up and said, Oda Viraya Shekfar Oversman Mashiach. And I'll bring a proof that the time Mashiach has already come. Now, his proof that he was going to bring is really, I think we discussed that in the Shiach Shirim a couple of years ago. But he responds, Ramban sticks in by saying, well, wait a second, before you get to that, right, Amarta ani, I say Aduni HaMelech Shamani, listen to me Ma'at a little bit, Ein HaDin VaEmes VaMishpat Shelanu Ikru B'Mashiach. He says, look, I see where this conversation is going. You're going to want to do this whole, you know, Messiah come or not come, etc. I get all that. But realize, that's not really so important to us. Right? He says, you, the emperor, you, the king, you're more important to me than Mashiach. Well, what do you mean? Ata melech v'hu melech. You're a king and he's a king. Ata melech goy v'hu melech Yisrael. You happen to be a non-Jewish king. He happens to be a Jewish king. Ki Mashiach eino ela melech basar v'dam kamocha. But the king, the melech HaMashiach, is going to be no more than a melech that made of flesh and blood just like you. V'chashani oved es bari b'shuscha b'galus u'v'inoy u'v'shibud v'cherpas ha'amim ashi yicharfunu tamid schari meruba. And when I worship Hashem, my God, as much as I can, you know, with the difficulties that I have, with your permission, in your land, I get a lot of schar. Kani osa ola lelukim migufi. Kani osa avlo lelukim migufi. Uvaze eska l'chai olam haba. Yoser v'yoser, and by doing these things, by working, Ola, right? Osa Ola Leilohim Migufi. I worship. I bring korbanos, so to speak, for myself, and by this I am zocha to more and more Olam Haba. Aval kishia melchi Yisrael mitorasi Moshe b'chol ha'amim v'al korchi yeshli lamu b'toras ha'yehudim ein schari meruba kol kach. However, when a Jewish king is going to be ruling, and I don't have to work so hard in order to do mitzvos, I'm not going to get so much schar anymore. Aval ikra din v'hamachlokas b'in ha'yehudim v'in ha'notzim. The main dispute between the Jews and the non-Jews are hu b'mesha atem omrim b'ikra luhus davar mar me'od. That the main dispute that we have about the main idea of God is very difficult. Galachim, it's ir medorsh medavrim meledas Yeshu, umilav mochacha umoach atzmosecha kedavar hazeh v'shavetzlecha mitoch oso haragilus. And now you're going to be listing. You're long come from a long line of Christians, and you continue to be worshiping what you worship. Aval hadavar asher atem ma'aminim hu ikra emunaschem lo yikabel oso asecha v'ateva einu nosein v'anevim me'ol lo amrukim. But those things which you believe, which is the main thing that you believe, we don't really believe it. Gam hapela einu yachol yispashet the davar ahu. And such a wonderful thing we can't really believe in, etc. What is the Ramban saying? The Ramban is turning to him and saying, listen, we can have this whole Mashiach talk, but the truth is it doesn't really have much relevance to me. Right? Why doesn't it have much relevance to me? Because I have a job that I have to do, and my job is defined every moment. What is my job as a Jew right now? My job as a Jew right now is to worship Hashem as I am supposed to in Spain, which is go to Minyan every day and give my shirim and give my class and visit what I'm supposed to visit and work what I'm supposed to work and heal what I'm supposed to heal. That's my job. Right? And whether Mashiach comes or not, that's not really going to change anything, right? That's only going to perhaps change my job, but it's not going to change my essence. My essence at that point is going to be serving Hashem as I'm supposed to be serving Hashem then, right? Which is we get so involved sometimes. You know, what's the time of Mashiach? We're not really sure. We don't really know. But our job right now is to serve Hashem as we're supposed to right now within our current situation. On the left side of the page, the Ramban pretty much repeats the same thing. Some people have doubted, you know, the Ramban really mean that? The Ramban was saying this as part of a disputation. Right? Does he really mean what he's saying here? So in the Sefer HaGula, he wrote a book about what Gula might be like. And there he spells out pretty much the same thing. He says, even if I was told, right, Vida, Yazrech Elohim, the top line, Akim Nisach, that with the sins that we have had and all the things that our forefathers have done, etc., we've lost all possibilities of consolation. And the galus is going to last forever. He said it wouldn't change anything. That's not going to change anything for the Torah. That would just mean that we're going to continue with our current situation. The Rambam wrote a similar thing in his Igeres Hashmad. I have it underlined. He wrote more. I just said from the translation. It was a tradition article that went to a translation of the Rambam's Letter of Apostasy. In the underlined part, he says, moreover, the obligation to observe the divine precepts has no relation to the appearance of Mashiach. We are duty-bound at times to engage in the study of the Torah and observe the law, make every attempt to observe it assiduously. If after we've fulfilled our religious duties, God would want to grant us the coming of the Mashiach, so that would be wonderful. That would be extremely gratifying. But that's not really what's defining our existence right now. That's not really what we are aiming for. So with that, that is a pretty, I can't leave us like this, because that means, like, okay, everybody stay here, and there's really no reason to worry about anything, and we'll just continue building our community here. And perhaps, and what is the you know, and the idea of waiting for, you know, what is waiting for Mashiach, etc. Right? We know that there are the questions that a person is asked when they go up to Shemayim, right? So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us one of the first questions the person is asked is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you await the Yeshua? Did you wait for Mashiach? So we have the Ramban, and the Rambam saying, well, Mashiach coming isn't really so relevant to our existence, and we don't really have to worry about it very much. So, well, first of all, what does it mean for us to be Tzipisa LeYeshua? And then you got to ask, well, Ramban and Rambam, were you Tzipisa LeYeshua? Were you waiting for Mashiach to come? Were you waiting for the ultimate redemption? Right? Doesn't sound like it. So what is waiting for the redemption? What is the goal? What is that ideal? Right? If we're so focused on right now, we're going to build up our community, and we're going to get involved with politics, and we're going to have large families, and we're going to build houses, and we're going to build, it sounds like we're going to establish roots based on the words of Yirmiyahu. So then what? So how does that fit with the idea of Tzipisa, waiting for Mashiach? So the two sources I put on the bottom of the page, on the bottom right, is from the Sefer Sifsei Chaim. Sifsei Chaim is somebody who passed away a couple of years ago. He's a Rosh Mashkiach of the Pandavish Yeshiva. We've quoted him many times. So he explains, I guess, that underline. In the underlying part, he says, "Hatzipisa leMashiach hanidreshes meimenu hi liyachel leMashiach." Right, the idea of awaiting Mashiach is to hope for Mashiach. V'lama? Why? Mikiven shei efshar lispol eschil Hashem sheyesh bebria, because it is not possible for us to understand and for us to tolerate the chil Hashem that is going on. Liros es ha-hester panim v'chla she'ifa achasi she'iskadi shemo yisbarach bebriya. That we see the hiddenness of the face of Hashem. We see that God is hidden from us. Right? And our goal then is she'iskadi shemo yisbarach bebriya. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make himself manifest. Right? Not so much that it defines what we do, right? What we do is going to defined by the Torah, right? We have to follow our own steps and figure out what we're going to have to do, right? Those that remember that piece from Berkowitz, I quoted here a couple, I guess, in the Rabbi Kiva series, Rabbi Eliezer Berkowitz, where he talks about that Rabbi Akiva, when he said Shema, when he was being called out, right, and his reading of that, he saw it was time for Shema, and he said the Shema. I mean, Rabbi Akiva's life at that point was, okay, it's morning. Now it's time for me to say Shema. You're about to rake my skin off with whatever, you know, with the fire, with those rakes. Right? That really has no bearing on whether I'm going to say Shema or not. Right? I'm in charge of saying Shema right now. If you're going to kill me, so you can kill me. That's your decision. My decision is to be an Oved Hashem right now. And my job right now is to find as well as morning. It's time for me to say Shema. So this is kind of saying, yeah, that's correct. That's for you on what you have to do. But that's also a Chil Hashem. I mean, it's also the idea that there could be suffering, the idea that there could be pain, the idea that the righteous are suffering, that the evil seems to be victorious, right? That doesn't affect what you're doing. Your job is to still have emunah and to still do mitzvahs and still do what a Jew has to do, right? But that still is, we don't want it to be that way, right? We don't want Hashem to be hidden. We don't want that Hester Panim anymore. We want Hashem to be revealed and for Hashem to be cleared. Right, so that's the idea of Tzipisa LeYeshua. Not necessarily reflecting what we do, but rather what our hope is. Right? Our hope is that the entire world will see and understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And then one other idea, or similar, and can be built on, is this idea of the Maharal. For some reason, Hebrew books only has the Rashi script edition, doesn't have the printed, and when I collected my Maharals for about $2 a piece in Shiva, they were like, you know, used books. So that's where I got all mine. So for some reason, this version, this volume, they didn't have. But he also takes up this idea, actually goes through in this piece, and the Sefer Yochanan goes through all of those questions and what all of those questions mean. And he says, also, what does it mean Sipisa Yoshua to be awaiting the redemption? So he explains, Bir Inyan Zekia Nivdalhu Bepal Tamid Va Adam Hagashmi Inu Bepal Rakhu Bekoach Kizeu Inyan HaChomer. Right, that a person is only what they are, is only their own, you know, is only what they could reach. But the idea of Mashiach means that there is a greater idea that a person can reach, right? That a person in this world, they try to do the best that they can, but the best that you can is only to a certain level. The idea of being Tzipisa LeYoshua, the idea of saying that we're going to hope for more, that we're going to hope for the Mashiach, that we're going to hope for better, is to say that each person can always do better. Right, that's a very important idea to keep in mind, right? That we do whatever we can't do whatever we can, and sometimes we say, I really am doing the best that I can, and we have a right to feel that way. But on the other hand, there's also the idea of, yes, you might be doing the best that you can, but you should always be hoping for better. So one clear manifestation of that is, yes, we may have built the perfect community. We may have built, you know, all of the establishments are going well, and there's plenty of restaurants, and all of the things that one needs in a Jewish community may have been built. And the same thing for our home, and the same thing for all of the things that we're trying to build. So it's a piece of Yeshua, the idea of awaiting redemption is, but one can always do better. Well, perhaps do more, and that perhaps irrelevant to when Mashiach is coming, right? That fits back within the Ramban and the Rambam, right? Irrelevant to whether Mashiach is coming, I always want to do more. And when I'm hit up against the wall and say I can't do more, there's nothing better that can be done. Well, no, there is something better that can be done. Are you desirous of even stepping it up and doing more than that? So that is our, I think that is our situation. You know, our situation is we're put into a spot of, we are, you know, we're doing the best that we can. We build, and the Torah was developed after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to be one that we will live in and not just suffer through. On the other hand, how are we going to do more? How are we going to step it up? And that really is the... So we're still stuck in that tension of, yes, we'll build here, but how do we demonstrate our desires of going beyond that? So we'll develop that more over the coming weeks. Thank you for coming.